Pray that your word tonight will touch our heart.
Amen.
Cause us to respond to you.
Yes.
Amen. Oh Lord. Yeah, may we all give you our heart tonight.
Amen.
To love you as you have loved us.
Amen.
And to love one another.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Freely give our hearts to you tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Want to be soft towards you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Jesus, you are our love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can I speak to our hearts?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, grant us a clean and a pure heart, my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that tonight's word will be written in our heart, my Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord for his speaking.
Yes.
Yeah, John in his epistle shows us that God is light and God is love.
Amen.
These are two very outstanding, wonderful attributes of our God. God is light and God is love.
Amen.
It's like two strong pillars for our Christian and our church life. Two legs for us to run the race. Without light and without love, it is impossible for us to reach the goal.
Amen.
Without light, we are in darkness. We're groping. We won't even see where we're going, right? But we also need love. Light without love is not good enough. And love without light is also not good enough, right? We need both light and love. And we saw that God is light. And tonight we want to also really appreciate that God is also love.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Yeah. Actually, we can see that love is God's divine nature.
Amen.
It is his very essence. And we can see his love in all his works, right? As we saw last night, just starting from his creation, we can already sense and see his love. He did not create man on the first day. Would have been a disaster if he did that, right? We will all not survive very long. But after he created everything that we need.
Amen.
All that we need, not only for our survival, but for also for our enjoyment, right? We can see his love. Just as it says here in, I wrote down here in 1 Timothy 6:17. He gave us richly all things to enjoy.
Amen.
He created so many wonderful things, not for the cats, not for the dogs, but for us men.
Right.
Even when we were eating breakfast, John said he's never seen a monkey eating breakfast like this, or an animal. It was so rich, even just eating breakfast, we can sense his love. We had coffee, cheese, bread, right? Eggs, butter, and even blueberries and grapes, so rich. Praise the Lord, he has really given us all things to enjoy, right? So we praise God for the wonderful things he created for our enjoyment in his creation. And we can also see his love for his people in the old covenant. Let us read Deuteronomy 7:7. What does it say there? Deuteronomy 7:7. Yeah. It says here, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yes, the Lord chose the children of Israel, not because they are great in number, but actually they were the least of all people. Least not just in number, but they are not the very obedient people. Rebellious. Stephen said they are a stiff-necked people, right? Ungrateful. And yet the Lord chose them. Right? Praise God. For his love, because of his love. And there's another verse that I have here, which is Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. It says here, The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. Praise the Lord. The Lord's love is an everlasting love. Although his people has been so rebellious, at the end, the Lord will still save a remnant. He will not totally forsake his people. Even at the end of this age, a remnant among the Jews will be saved, right? And today we are his people. Praise the Lord for his everlasting love, right? I was reminded of Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, right? Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, it says here what? Paul says what? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you all convinced that the love of God is everlasting? Nothing can separate us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? Amen. And so we see that his love is really an unconditional love. Not because we're good, but because of his great love. And then we see his love in his redemptive work. Yeah. Let us see a few verses in Romans 5, 6 to 10. I think it's good to read the word, right? It is the most convincing. Yeah. So, what does it say? When you were very strong, powerful. No, it says, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. Right, Stephen, were you so good that you got saved? Nope. Were you so righteous, so godly? Nope. What were you?
Nothing.
Worse than nothing, we were his enemies. Right, but God demonstrated his love toward us.
Amen.
That while we were yet sinners, even his enemies, Christ died for us. Yeah, praise the Lord, right? Yeah, we were without strength, ungodly, enemies, and even Ephesians 2 says we were what? Dead. Would you love a dead person? We were dead in our trespasses and sins, right? Even we were sons of disobedience, right? We were fleshly, right? Working against God, and yet he loved us. He saved us, right? Praise God. And the goal, as we have heard, he is not just saving us so that we won't go to hell or be thrown into the lake of fire, but the goal is glorious, as we have heard, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to make us what? Kings and priests to our God, right? To inherit the kingdom. And let us also read Revelation 21, verse 7, which we have not yet read in the previous meeting. 21, verse 7, what does it say? He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So don't be envious of people who are rich, who own many mansions. They're going to be ours one day. We will inherit all things. This is the Lord's promise, right? But we should be his sons, not just his children. We need to grow to become matured, right? But praise the Lord, we will inherit all things.
Amen.
Right. Yeah, Rahul, Nehi, you love your children, right? You love your children. And one day, are you going to give me your inheritance? Surely not, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. We are his children. We are his sons. And we will inherit all things. Yeah, praise God, yeah. So, and then one more thing is his love for the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 30. Husband, love your wife. Let's read it together. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Yeah. And verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Don't think the church is just something that God, all of a sudden, after so many people got saved and he got the idea, why don't we form a church? Right? Do you think it was like that? That he just somehow got the idea, what should we do with so many people here in Toronto? Let's just make a church out of them. Definitely not, right? It says here, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That means the Lord did not just die to save sinners. He died also for the church. He gave himself for her. Right? John 3:16 says he gave himself to save us, right? But here it says he gave himself for the church. We see that picture already in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Remember Adam? After he was created, what did the Lord say? It is not good for man to be alone, right? I will make him a helpmeet, right? And what did he do? He caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. And out of his bone, right? His ribs, he built Eve. Right. And this is a picture of Christ and the church. Meaning to say, even before men fell, God already planned the church. Right. Adam's sleep is a type of the Lord's death, even before men fell. Right. And so the death of the Lord on the cross was also to build the church. He died. He gave himself for the church. Right. Praise the Lord. Right? And when the Lord was pierced on the cross, out of his side, came out what? Water and blood. Blood for redemption. Water is to release his life to build up the church. Right? And the Lord also compared himself as a grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died, right? There's no blood in a grain of wheat, right? But when it died, it produced what? Much grain, right? Yeah. And together, it forms the church. So we can see that the Lord's death is also for the church. He loved the church. And the church is his bride. Right? And we should also love him back as his bride. Right? He deserves our first love. Yeah, amen. So we can see that all of God's work is motivated by love and is full of his love, right? We should really appreciate the love of Christ, just like when we sang that song, it really touched my heart. What the Lord, all what the Lord did for us, right? And it is only normal that we respond. And in the book of John, in the epistle, the Lord, he did say that his love needs to be perfected in us. Right? That is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, 5, yeah. Sorry, it's chapter 2. That we need to be perfected in his love, right? Chapter 2, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. That means this love should also be manifested in us, should be perfected. We should also have the same kind of love. And this love should also be expressed in and through us. Right? This is God's expectation of us, that we should also have such a love. Yeah. Yes, we do have his love in us already, because we are born of him. And Romans says, the Spirit what has shed his love has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we are born of him, and we are created in his image and in his likeness. The love of God cannot be perfected in a dog, because the dog just has a dog life. Not created in the likeness of God, but we were created in the likeness and the image of God. And we have his life. So this life, this love which is in God, which is God himself, can be perfected in us. Right? Oh Lord, that's why it says that the foremost commandment is that we should love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is only normal that we reach that stage, that we love him the way he loved us, with our whole being. That is what it means to be perfected in love. Our love needs to grow and abound. Not only his light, but even more so his love. Amen. Right? And this is what God teaches us the moment we are saved. Actually, we don't need this message because God has been teaching us. Right? Paul says, I don't need to write to you concerning love, because you yourself have been taught by God. Right? I'm just reminding you, that's all. Not teaching you. Reminding you how God loved us and how he wants his love to be perfected in us. Right? This should be our goal, because without love, we will not reach the goal. Right? Oh, Lord, yeah. That's right. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says, the love of God constrained me. We should be constrained by the love of God. It's good to meditate on his love. Right? At the Lord's table, when we come, we should always be touched by his love. Right? He said we do this in remembrance of him. Also to remember what he did for us out of love, because it's so easy to forget, right? So every first day of the week, we are reminded of his love towards us. His love should constrain us so that every morning, yeah, we should really draw near to him, ask him to fill us with his love, so that we can willingly give ourselves to him. Right? Oh Lord. And so that is in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Maybe it's good to read that. The translation here, the word compels, but some translations use the word constrain, yeah? For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. I hope in these days, in this conference, we will all be constrained and compelled by his love, that we would really give ourselves to him, just as the song says. He gave everything to us, right? His whole life and his life, so that we will respond as the prayers of some of you were, to give ourselves to him. Right? Amen. And then John continues to say that if we love God, we will also love what? One another. Right? And this is the second of the greatest commandment, right? That we love our neighbor as ourselves. So let's read 1 John chapter 4. Oh, wait a minute. One point I forgot to mention here is... It is First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, there is no fear in love, right? Yeah, at the end, I believe it was. Yeah. Yeah. Let's read from verse 17, yeah, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Actually, the hymn is not there. We love because he first loved us. If his love is perfected in us, we will have the boldness in the day of judgment. We will not always be afraid and tell the Lord, don't come back yet because I'm not ready. Right? But if we are perfected in love, and we really love him, and if we love him, we will keep his commandments. We will do what is pleasing unto him. Amen. And we will avoid doing things that will offend him, yes. Right? So, yeah, to be perfected in love is very important. Because it is out of love, not really out of fear, but more importantly, out of love. Of course, we respect him. That's why we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, not that we are so afraid every day and we live in fear, no, but we honor him, we respect him, and we do not do the things that we know are not pleasing unto him. But if we are perfected in love, we will have the boldness, yeah, on the day of judgment, yeah. We will love his appearing, just like Paul. He says, right, he loved, the Lord will give the crown of righteousness to those, what, who love his appearing. That means he was one who loved the appearing of the Lord, right? And so there is no fear in love. If we really love him, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Yeah. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That means if we don't really love him, and because of that love, live a life that is holy and pleasing unto him, we will be fearful. That's why so many Christians, although they know they're going to go to heaven, they're still afraid to die. Because somehow, maybe they know that they have to meet God, to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But if we really love him, there is no fear. No fear of torment. Torment here actually means punishment. We have no fear of punishment if we really love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. So love is, Paul says, I'll show you a better way, which is love.
Amen.
Right? This is the most excellent way to reach the goal. So light and love. Light without love is no good. We would be condemning everybody. Love without light is also not good. We will be corrupted, right? We will spoil one another. That's not good. Right. So, now, what are the manifestation of love? First of all, we will have the desire to preach the gospel. Not because of, Paul says out of necessity, yes. But even more so, we should preach the gospel out of love. Love for mankind. Right? John 3:16 says, for God, what? So loved the world. It was love that motivated God to send his son, right? To accomplish redemption for us. So today we are perfected in love. It should be very natural that we preach the gospel. We love men. We love sinners, that they also will be saved, right? So love, if you just preach the gospel because you have to, it's very strenuous, right? And it doesn't work that well. If you think it is just your duty as a Christian to preach the gospel, the taste is different, right? But if we love sinners and we really want that they be saved, we love them because God loves. He wants all men to be saved, right? To come to the full knowledge of the truth. So praise the Lord. The first manifestation is that we will have a desire to save people, right? Our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, our acquaintances, our relatives, right? Yeah. And then, of course, John says in 1 John 1:17 that if we really love the Lord, it is expressed in caring for the practical needs of the saints, right? 1 John 1:17?
Yes. Yeah.
Three seventeen. Would you like to read that, Moses, please?
But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
Right. This is something very practical. If we really love the Lord and we see the saints that are in need and we shut up our, what? Our heart, right? How is the love of God abiding in us? So we take care of one another, even in practical needs, right? This is definitely one manifestation of his love, right? And then James 4 says that this love shows no partiality. We should all have the same love for all the saints. Don't just love those who kind of are in the same wave as you, right? Same hobby, same interest. Yeah, people you like, the saints, right? And some other you don't like so much. No, there should not be any partiality. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians says what? even we should love those who are not so honorable, right? Let us read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Yeah. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our present have greater modesty. Yeah. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having greater honor to the part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care. Praise the Lord. Right. This is the expression of divine love. Our natural love is very biased, right? Partial. We only love those whom we like. Those who are not according to our taste, we kind of ignore, right? That is not good, right? The divine love, we all have the same love. It's our experience, right? If my small toe bangs something, oh, I take good care of it, just like when my hand is hurting or my arm, right? Maybe even more. So, yeah, in the church life, which is the body of Christ, we have the same love and we show no partiality, right? Amen. And then in John chapter 21, verse 15, we all know that verse, right? The Lord asked Peter how many times? Three times. Do you love me? He said, yes. So what did the Lord say? First, feed my lamb. And at the second time, tend my sheep. The third time,
feed my sheep.
That's what we should do. If we really love one another, we should really nourish one another, just like the Lord, right? We should give food in due season in the church, right? Not just be teachers. Sometimes we just like to teach, but we need to nourish them. Give food in due season, right? Yeah, nourish one another. We all can nourish one another. We may not be able to teach one another. Not everyone can do that, but we can definitely nourish one another, right? And also to speak the truth in love, right? We need to speak the truth in love. Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Yeah. He says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to the working which works in me mightily. So Paul, in his love for the saints, he's not just always saying nice words to them. He warns them, right? He speaks the truth to them, right? Yeah, in all wisdom, not only teaching, but warning every man in all wisdom to present what? Every man perfect in Christ. If we love one another, we should have that desire to help one another to be perfect in Christ, to reach the goal, Amen. To become first fruits. Amen. Not just we alone running the race, but we should also have the desire. Sometimes we just pray for one another. Oh, Moses had an accident. Lord, help him. Help him get over it and not be discouraged. Help him to find a new car. Or somebody lost his job, right? We take care of so many small things. Of course, I'm not saying we shouldn't, right? But more importantly, we should have a heart that all the saints will reach a goal, Amen. Will be perfected, right? Oh Lord, yeah. To present every man perfect in Christ. Yeah. Encourage one another. And then lastly, more importantly, is to be praying for all the saints. Yeah. We need to pray. Not just, again, I said, you know, for just things concerning this, our human life, our daily living, right? Our daily needs. We pray a lot for the sick. We pray a lot for those who have problems. But how often do we really pray for the saints, for their spiritual needs, right? If you look at just a few examples here, in Ephesians, for example, Paul prayed a lot. At least in this epistle, he prayed twice for them, right? In chapter 1, he prayed for them. He says in verse 15, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints," I'm so happy. And so they're fine. They're all doing well. So forget about them now. They're well. No, he prayed for them, right? Amen. Yeah, he did not cease. He continued to pray for them, although they're doing well, right? Faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints. What else do you want? But they still need to be perfected. Their love and their faith still needs to grow. "So do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer," right? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Right? You can read on regarding his prayer. And then also in chapter 3, is it? "That we will be strengthened with might in his inner man." Yeah. Or is it chapter 4?
Chapter
3.
Chapter 3. Starting with verse 14.
Verse 14, yeah, okay. Yeah. "For this reason, again, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named,
Amen.
That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Yeah. How often do we pray for one another that we will be strengthened in our inner man, that Christ can make his home in our hearts.
Right?
We should learn to pray for one another in this way. I think there's a lack, right? Even in myself, I need to learn to pray for the saints in such a way. Right? And then you look at Philippians. Yeah. Philippians chapter 1. What is Paul's prayer? Yeah. Yeah, verse 3, right? Verse 9. Well, verse 8 first. "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." He really loved the saints there. And because of that, he prays for them, right? If we really love the saints, we should be praying for them. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more." We should pray that before the Lord comes back, it should abound more and more.
Amen.
Right? We're not satisfied until the Lord comes.
Amen.
Yeah, "in knowledge and all discernment, that they may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ."
Amen.
Not after the 1,000 years, okay? Till the day of Christ. That means at the coming of the Lord, that we will all be raptured together, right? It's a good prayer that we should learn, right? Pray in such a way for one another. And then Colossians, chapter 1, right? Verse 9 again, right? he was talking about how good they're doing in Colossians, in Colossae, right? But still, he did not think, oh, they're doing well, so no need to worry about them, right? Oh, Toronto is doing well, no need to pray for Toronto anymore. Pray more for Vancouver. But that is not Paul's attitude. Paul, although the church in Colossae was doing pretty well, if you read the first few chapters, right? According to the report of Epaphras. Yeah, he declared to Paul their love in the spirit. Very good. But for this very reason, for us it's because of this reason we don't pray. But for Paul, it says, for this very reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you.
Amen.
Amen. So we will continue to pray for Toronto. Although I'm happy to see what the Lord is doing here. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long sufferings with joy. Praise God. Yeah. We should pray for one another in such a way. I think if we do that, we will see great things. The Lord can do much, much more. Rather than just praying, oh, help Shirley to be healthy, solve all her health problems, oh, and all that, right? We should really pray for one another in such a way. I think if we start doing that, being perfected in his love for all the saints, right? And then lastly, I'd like to mention here in Colossians chapter 4 about a brother called, I think it's Epaphras or Aristarchus. Yeah. Epaphras. Yeah. Epaphras. Verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Right, laboring in prayer. We don't have that concept, right? For us, laboring is to do a lot of work outside, outward activities. But Epaphras here, because of his love for the saints, right? Yeah, he labored fervently in what? In prayer. And for what? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Amen.
That is the real expression of our love for one another. On one hand, we do take care of the physical needs of the saints, right? But more importantly, we should not neglect the spiritual needs, and that we have a heart that all of us will make it, that we will all meet on the throne as first fruits, right? Not in the air, okay? On the throne. Praise the Lord.